Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
We started last week. We talked about love came down, love coming down, in the form of Jesus Christ. Love came to this earth for us to be able to experience what agape truly is. Agape love, which is God's love, that is unconditional. It keeps coming regardless. But you know, one of the things that we need to talk about today a little bit is about love is meant to be expressed. Love is meant to be demonstrated, to be realized by other people. And we have to let it manifest in our own life to be able to touch other people's lives. Otherwise, we won't make the difference in their life if we're not loving. But our love has to be perfected. It needs to be matured. It's already mature in us, but we have not matured in it. How many of you have the unconditional love matured already? In other words, no matter what anybody does, you're okay, all right, we're talking to the right crowd. But I want you to listen to this. Randy, can we do that song? Are we going to be able to do that? I want you to listen to this song, and then we'll do the message. It's part of the message. And I want you to pause. I want you to reflect. I want you to listen to the words. I want you to take a deep breath. Everybody take a deep breath and exhale. Just listen.
I'm just as caught as I ever was, but I'm a prisoner. I I can't explain this mystery. I'm a prisoner, still trying to be free. And I'm a prisoner. I'm just as caught as I ever was, but I'm a prisoner. Sometimes I think of those still inside, surrounded by fear and fighting for their lives. I hear a call to go back someday and stand. I'm just as caught as I ever was, but I'm a prisoner of love.
So I won't get bombarded at the end. That is Don Potter, and the name of the song is called Prisoner. He's talking about coming out of a spiritual prison that he's been in, all the chains and all the darkness, and all of a sudden he's free because of the man who died on the tree. And there's a line in there that says, only God can take a heart captive this way. How many of you have been captivated by the Lord's love? You've just been captured by it. See, and that's the meaning of the whole song, that you're still imprisoned to it, because it's something. He said at the end, he says, I don't want to be free. He's struggling with the love, trying to figure out all the stuff. He said, I don't want to be free to do what I want. I want to be free to do what he wants me to do. That's a beautiful song. It really is. I want you to go to Romans chapter 5, and then I want you to go to 1 John chapter 4. Romans chapter 5, just for a few minutes, and then First John chapter 4. I want you to say this, to us. Then I want you to say, in us. Then I want you to say, through us. That's how this love has to work. To us, in us, and through us. Romans chapter 5, it says, the love of God, verse 5, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, everybody say helpless. Without Christ, you are helpless. And the Bible says it, while we were still helpless, we just could not even help ourselves. We couldn't help anybody. We were doomed to helplessness. He said, while we were still helpless, at the right time. Everybody say, at the right time. How many of you have had that right time? That Christ spoke to your heart and revealed who he was to you and revealed who you were and your need of him. See, that has to happen for us to ever be born again. He has to reveal his love to us. But he says he poured out his love into our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. And while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And watch this. God demonstrates his own love, say, towards us. God demonstrates his love to us. So his love was demonstrated to us by the great sacrifice, by love coming down as a baby, left the splendor of heaven to be able to come down in human form, laid everything aside, though he was, you know, here's something about, you know, he was the only one born king. All the other kings are born as prince. Then they become king later. He's the only one that was ever born king. That's good stuff right there. Say thank you, Pastor, for giving me that. Yeah. Yeah. I sort of like that. I'm patting myself on the back. Share it with the people. Share it with the people. Demonstrates his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, we're still sinners, he died for us. Christ died for us. That is a demonstration of agape love. That's a demonstration of even though we didn't love him, even though we hated him, we didn't do anything he wanted us to do, we were helpless, we were undone, we was lost in our sin, and yet while we're in that condition, giving that, treating him that way, he said, I will die for them. So they can truly be free. That's the reason he came, to set us free, to build a family that belongs to him. So to us, he poured out his love and he demonstrated it. How many of you have ever, had somebody to say, I love you? And then you questioned it afterwards because the way they were treating you didn't feel like love. And we talked last week about the four different kinds of love. But, you know, the one that we lacked was agape, was the unconditional love, was the love that needed to be given to us so that we can give it to others and we can love people regardless of what they do to us. I'm going to surprise you just a moment. I'm going to say this. I want you to make your way to 1 John chapter 4. But I want you to understand, I want you to say this. I need enemies. Now, I know some of you are not wanting to say that. But you have them, whether you think you need them or not. Just say, I need enemies. I need people to mistreat me. Oh, y'all are struggling with this already. It's like, well, I don't want to make those confessions. I want to make positive confessions. Well, I got a confession for you. You need them. Say, I need people to curse me. I'm not saying that, Pastor. I'm not gonna agree with that. Well, you're not agreeing with the Bible. Are you about to bail out? I need people to take advantage of me. I'll say it. Y'all don't have to say it, but y'all may as well expect it. The reason you need that, because it is the only thing that will perfect your love. Because he said, love your enemies. If you don't have enemies, your love will not be perfected. The agape love won't be tested. If it's unconditional, enemies will give you conditions. The ones that curse you will give you conditions. The ones that mistreat you will give you some conditions to see if you're going to be unconditional. So whether you think you need them or not, you need them. You already have them. So the ones that mistreat you, the ones that say things about you, you need those people in your life. As a matter of fact, God has ordained it to be so. Because he also said, look, if they hated me, what's the rest of it? They're going to hate you. Now, I don't want anybody to hate me. Well, we don't, might not want it, but we have them. It is the genuine test of whether you're loving somebody with agape or you're just loving somebody as a friend. Or if you're loving somebody with storge, which is a motherly love. Or you're loving somebody with phileo, which is like brotherly love. That's the only way agape can be tested, when a wrong is done. Because Jesus also said this. He said, you know, what credit is it to you if you love those that love you? If you do good to those that do good to you? Even heathens know how to do that. So the expectancy of God concerning our life being lived with agape and in agape, this unconditional love, comes to the fullness when we're mistreated, when we have enemies, when we have people that are cursing us, that are using us. That's when agape is called upon, this inside us. That's when the true love of God, and see, without God coming through Jesus, in Jesus, by Jesus, and him dying for us, we would never have the ability to do any of that because we were helpless. Is it true? That's what the Bible says. We really need all those things that we just talked about, because that's out of Luke chapter 6. He says, I tell you, you know, if you hear this, I want you to love your enemies. Why do you need it? Why do you need enemies? So you can learn agape love, so that agape love can be perfected inside you to be lived out. It can be demonstrated. Everybody say demonstrated. You know, I dare not go to husband and wife. Thank you. Somebody said, if this is love, it doesn't feel like it. Right? I don't want to see any of this going on, so, you know. But see, this thing about agape love, and he says, do good to those that, watch this, do good to those that hate you. You need haters. How many of you got some? I've got some. But you know why they're there in my life? For me to be able to give them unconditional love, whether they hate me or love me or whatever, but if they hate me, I'm still supposed to love them. Still giving them the love of God that is inside me. Bless those who curse you. You bless them. So when somebody curses you, you don't say, well, let me tell you something. Let me give you a piece of my mind. And that's about all you're going to give them. Is a piece of your mind which helps nobody. Am I talking to the right crowd today? Am I talking to the right crowd? Okay. So this is a hard message. And I said, no, this is a loving message. This is a message of love. It truly is. It's a message of love. We can't afford any longer to talk about we're good Christians, but we don't love with the love of God. We can't do that any longer. They're wise to it. The world is wise to it. They really are. Do you understand that Jesus actually said, he said, do you know how they're going to know out there in the world that you're truly my disciple? And he gave us the answer. How is it? That we would love. Agape. That we would love one another unconditionally. It's time to grow in it. It's time to develop in the already mature love that we have. See, we're not waiting on the love to mature. We're waiting on us to mature in the love. We're waiting for us, our soul, to be perfected in that love by allowing our soul to be touched by the Spirit of God inside us, who is complete. And we're complete in Him. But we're still here, incomplete in this body. But we're complete in Him. See, the perfection that we're to go through is the trials that we go through to be able to be perfected. That's the reason we need the enemies. We need the haters. We need the people that curse us. We need the people to mistreat us. We need that. Look, you don't have to ask anybody to come up and say, "Would you hate me, please? I'm out of enemies. Would you be my enemy for a while?" You don't have to do that. It will come natural. Do you know there's haters of Christianity already that's multiplying and multiplying and multiplying in this earth? Haters of Christians? We need them. You know why? They're there to teach us how to love them unconditionally. And when that unconditional love comes from us to them, it will awaken them to the reality that we're true disciples. We're not phonies. We're not just churchgoers. We're not just people who talk a certain way but live a different way. That's the reason we need them. That's the reason God has allowed them in our lives, so that His love inside us that is perfect, it can perfect us in our behavior, in what we say, in what we do. The world is waiting, groaning for the weos, the sons of God, the mature ones of God that can take a licking and keep on loving. Take a licking and keep on ticking. Ticking with the heart of God. You know, it's one thing for us to have a theology of God. How many of you believe that a theology of God is important? Wait a minute. A theology of God. But I'm here to tell you, you can have the theology of God without possessing the heart of God and touch people's lives. Your theology will teach people about God, but the heart of God that you possess will touch their heart. The knowledge that you have will touch their head, will touch their mind. They'll know more about God, but they don't know Him because you have not truly presented who He is to them. So it's not just having... We've got a cricket... Now I'm in front of the speaker. Okay, I'm out from in front. I'm sorry, Randy. But we have to understand that this walk that God wants us to walk out is one that is a love relationship. Do you know that there's people out there that know you that are already planning to test you? Let me see what he does when I do this. Let me see what she does when I say this. Now, don't act like it's not happening. You know it is. Coming up with ideas and, well, I know what I said, but I'm just going to treat them this way. Hey, I need to borrow some money. I'll pay you back whenever. I'll pay you back. And they have no intentions of paying you back. Some. You know. Pay the man. I mean, you don't give it. No, I'm messing with you. No, but see, here's the thing about it. See, your love will be compelled. If you're operating by agape love that God's given you, your love will compel you to be next to them. Their guilt will want them to repel from you. They feel the guilt of mistreating you. So you can say, "Yep, about time. Yep, you have. When are you going to pay me that money you owe me?" I'm talking to my wife. I was at work one time, a long time ago. She called me, and I said, she said, listen, I found $50 under a, what do you call it?
A
scarf with a lamp. I found,
my 20s.
Huh?
I was in my 20s.
You was, oh, she was in her 20s. Watch this. Like that matters. And it does matter. It does matter. It does matter. Yeah. Do you feel love now?
No.
I may have to go ahead and repent. Can I tell it? Yeah, got permission. There's no consequences. I got permission. She, I found $50 underneath his scarf. And I said, you did? Yeah. And I said, well, that's amazing, because I put that 50 there underneath that scarf under that lamp. I put that 50 there. She said, I know, but I found it. And I said, okay. She said, here's what I want to do. She said, I want to go out and buy a couple of trees so we can plant some trees, because we hadn't been moved into this house long and didn't have trees. She said, I want to go buy a couple of trees and plant them. And that way we can start some trees growing in the yard. And I said, I really, really don't think that's going to be a problem. She said, but I'm not through. I said, well, what else? She said, I'll pay you back when you get paid. All right, can I get a witness from any man in here? Look at all these men. Look at all these men. And I said, let me get this straight. You're going to take my 50, and you're going to go buy trees so our yard will look better. Yeah. And you're not going to let me be without that 50. So when I get paid, you're going to pay me that 50 back. Is that what I get? She said, yes, that's what I said. I'm on the phone saying. And I said, well, honey, I can't beat a deal like that. I can get trees and my 50 back. Go ahead, buy the trees, and when I get my paycheck, you can pay me back. Agape has to kick in somewhere. This unconditional love has to kick in somewhere. She's loved me for over 50. We've been married for 50 years, dated for 3 years, so she's been loving me for 53 years. Yeah. See, it will always be tested. Now, that's a funny story. It wasn't much of a test of agape love, but I'm telling you, there's been times when we really had to use agape love to love one another when we treated each other the wrong way. And that's what God wants us to do. It's just one thing. Really, I remember, watch it, Terry. I remember I was teaching Sunday school. This has been, I was 18, 19. I was about 19, maybe 20. And I was teaching Sunday school in another church a long, 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 long time ago. And I was digging in the yard. I don't even know what I was digging a hole for. Might have been for them trees. But I was digging this hole, and I hit a rock that was bigger than the rock I just brought. I mean, it was huge. And I'm like, I'm out there probably about 30, 45 minutes. And I was 20.
Okay.
Hit it. And I'm going, no. And I'm saying words like, Rassum, fassum, mussum, get 'em, got 'em. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Surely you didn't do that. Oh, yeah. I did it. Unbeknownst to me, my wife is on the porch, and she said, and she's like this, she said, if your Sunday school class could see you now. I had that shovel, and I was looking for agape. But see, God puts us to the test to show how much we are not following agape. See, it's not the failure that he's concerned about. It is the continuing walk after we fail. A righteous man falls seven times, but what? He gets back. See, the mark of Christianity is not perfection. The mark of Christianity is forgiveness. So you can have all the right theology about God, but never possess the very heart of God that really loves other people when you're mistreated. That the world outside these doors, they're waiting for the demonstration of God's love. To them, in them, and through you. That's how they're going to be impacted, is by your love given to them. When you're done wrong, when you're mistreated, when you're talked about, when you're cursed, when there's an enemy, when all of that stuff begins to happen, that is the time that agape is there by the power of the Holy Spirit to remind you that you can love unconditionally, no matter how they treated you. Do you know you and I mistreated our lives, our sins, mistreated Christ in such a way that we never, he wasn't even recognized in his sacrifice, in his beatings. He never was recognized. But see, he did that for me. So when I would run across the haters and run across the enemies because of the Christ inside me, and just because of just being who you are, some people don't like you. That the Holy Spirit inside you, the very power of God that raised Jesus up from the dead, is moving you and I to a place that we love without the conditions and without the hooks of I'm gonna give you this, but I'm wanting something back. And we can say, but I don't have the ability to do that. And I will say, you are correcto. Neither do I. But his ability to do it through me is there if I just yield to the power of the Holy Spirit to love people beyond their faults, so they too could be able to see the love of God manifested. When you do that and you manifest God's love, you reveal Christ to them so they can be awakened that this is genuine. They'll be startled. Why are they? Because it's not like the world. They'll be startled because they won't understand it. But they cannot resist it. God, Jesus was irresistible, but he was rejectable. He was irresistible. Thousands of just followed him. But he was rejectable. That love of agape is irresistible. Amen. Did I read 1 John? Didn't think so. I'm not going to either. His love will never fail you. There'll be somebody waiting for you. Bless you, right outside those doors. I don't know where it's going to be. There's going to be somebody waiting for you that needs to be loved, even though they have not done the right thing. Do you know I went and listen? I went to a filling station just this past week, early this week, and I did all the card thing, and I went over and it said select, that selected, and it said pull the nozzle out. I pulled the nozzle out, and somebody had automatically locked it on. So I just picked it up, and when I pulled it out, the circuit was completed, and I pulled it out, gas came out in a full stream. I mean, just, and I'm like this, and I'm like, I'm startled, and I'm seeing gas coming out, and it gets, I mean, I don't know what to do for a split second. And I finally realized, I'm going to cut this off. So I had to reach down, I had to click it so it'll come off the automatic. I had gas on my shoes, gas on my pants, my socks were soaked. I had somewhere to go. And do you know what came up inside me? The person that did that don't even know me. I don't know them. But my first words were this. I said, God, I want you to bless these people. I don't know them. But you do. I want you to speak to their heart. I don't want you to let them know that they're loved by you. I'm sorry? I've grown some. Thank God. Then I went and told Brenda, I said, no, don't look at the gas nozzle before you ever get it out. Just look at it first. But now, see, that was a mistreatment. That was a setup by somebody. But see, I could have, if they were standing right there, I could have loved them. Because of the love of God being perfected, let's see, 20, 69, it's taken me 49 years, honey. Brenda said, it's taken you a long time. It's true. But this is our challenge, people. We have before us the entire mission field of the world to impact them with the love of God. But we have to have it to us. We have to believe in his love. Some of the verses we're going to, we have to believe in his love, and we have to demonstrate his love even when it doesn't look like it's even natural to do so, because it isn't. It's supernatural for you to love those that mistreat you. Are you up for the challenge? Okay. Let's stand together. So you may have a theology about God, but now it's time for us to be able to possess the heart of God so that when we love people, you know, it's even hard for churches to love each other. And that has to change. That has to change between this congregation and another congregation and another congregation and another. It has to change. It has to. And that is the very call of God that is on our lives, that we would stand up and love each other, even though we have different belief systems, but our major doctrines are right, are the same. But, well, we don't believe in this kind of music. Well, we don't believe in dancers. Well, we're majoring on things that are minor. And because we don't, we just push each other back, and we refuse to go that way. Because we don't either like it or whatever. God's calling us to love each other. So when you see your Baptist friends and your Methodist friends and your Catholic friends and your when you begin to be around them and see them, love them. Don't start debates. Love them. Love them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right. God bless this family. God bless you guys for household salvation. God bless you. All right. We'll finish this, hopefully. Sometime. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the fullness of your love that you've given. You did not give it sparingly. You gave the fullness of who you are. You loved us while we were helpless. You loved us while we were sinners. And you never slowed down on your walk to Calvary. And you didn't even stop when you were dead and buried. You rose again to present us with a life that is unimaginable, that is unconquerable, that has the fullness of who you are in it. So we surrender to you, and we say, Lord, teach us to love people like you love them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. You're free to go. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.